Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Happy Easter to each and every single person here. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you before, my name is Marty, and together with my wife Rachel, who you met earlier, we get the great honor of leading this location of Elevation. And it's great to have you here with us celebrating the greatest day on the Christian calendar, really. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We serve a God who's not dead, but he is alive, and he wants to come and work in each and every one of our lives. We praise, we sing, we celebrate, because the King is risen. The King is alive. King Jesus. We love it. We love it. You know, recently, we opened a new bank account with a bank that we've never used before. And so, as you know, like, applying online is always so much fun. You know, there's always so many, like, ID checks to go through and, you know, all that sort of stuff to get everything together. And unfortunately, I actually had to ring the bank a few times. And I don't know what's worse, stepping on a Lego block with your heel or ringing a financial institution. Like, it's somewhere close by. Sorry all those that are in banking who are here. But, you know, anyway, consistently, as I'm on hold for, you know, a long time, and that very, like, calming music, which is not so calming, is playing, this announcement keeps coming on. It says, scams are increasing. On their website, when you go to log in, says, beware, scams are increasing. You open the banking app, I'm sure you've all seen it. Beware, scams are increasing. I'm sure you've all seen them before, those random text messages that you get. You know, your package could not be delivered, but I have not ordered anything. Why am I getting this message? Or you have a unpaid amount to the Australian Tax Office, and then for just a second you're like, oh, geez, no, that's right, I don't. I use, you know, my work does that or whatever. I'm all sorted. Or maybe there's a Nigerian prince who wants to give you thousands and thousands of dollars. You get one of those great emails or whatever. And so in case you're wondering, this is not like a financial update message to warn you about scams or whatever, but please don't get done by them. But the thing is that scams are not new. And we're going to look back in the Bible and find out that right there on this momentous day, this amazing day of Jesus being risen from the dead, we find a scam. And so here's the day. You may know this passage quite well. Maybe you don't, because you're not usually in church. That's totally fine. We're gonna put the verse on the screen behind me here. And so this is Resurrection Sunday. This is Matthew 28, verses 1 through to 10. I'd love to read it to you. It says this: Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, that's the Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went in to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His presence was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." Great timing to lose your place. Sorry. He is risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Verse 7. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amazing is what we celebrate this morning. It's what we celebrate this Easter. But check it out. Even right there, we're going to read this next little passage, and we find straight away a scam. This is verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. I don't know about you, but there's certain times in history where I would love to be in the room. You know what I mean? Michelangelo's finishing carving David. You know, you'd love to be in the room. You know, this is a time I would have loved to be in that meeting. You know, imagine what the chief priests and the elders were thinking. They're like, risen, not there. What's going on? Did they believe these soldiers? Did they think maybe they'd drunk a few too many new wines and so were like all confused? Or like, what was going on? But regardless of what they thought, they're like, we've got to put a stop to this. How are we going to put a stop to this? Let's set up a scam. Let's pay them off. And let's tell them that, you know, his disciples came and stole him at night. It's funny, right? For a scam to work, and for it to work well, it always needs to have a little appearance of the truth, but be slightly off, right? So their strategy is not to close the tomb up and say, you know, Jesus is still in there, because if they did that and then, you know, someone else rolls the stone away, they'll find the body, it'll be, you know, the gig will be up, right? That could have backfired. And so they say, yes, it's empty. We admit to that, but it's because the disciples have stolen the body, trying to show the world that Jesus did what he said he would do. Now, at the time, the scam that those opposing Jesus needed to come up with was a physical one. You know, they were right there in the moment over 2,000 years ago. You know, they with no body of Christ to be found except the one that's walking around visiting everyone and visiting disciples and walking into locked rooms and letting Thomas, you know, place his fingers in his scars and cooking fish for his disciples on the beach. But for us today, I find there's not so many physical scams that seek to undercut and sabotage the good news of the gospel, but it's scams of ideas and scams of worldviews, lies that subtly try to move people away from the reality of what Jesus actually achieved on the cross through his death and resurrection. I actually remember a couple of years ago, I was close, but not right there, nearly being sucked into an Amazon scam. I got a call from a really helpful guy, and he was like, oh, I'm calling regarding your Amazon account. Someone's hacked it and bought a bunch of iPhones. I know you're laughing at me now, but, you know, like in the moment, I'm like, oh, no, oh, really? And so anyway, so I'm talking to this guy, and he's trying to, you know, do all the things like they do. He's trying to send me a text to, you know, share screen with my phone. And in a moment, I'm like, hang on, this is not quite right. And I actually said to him, I said, I think you're a scammer. Oh, no, sir, I'm not a scammer at all. No way. No, I'm just trying to help you. And so I'm, you know, thinking on my feet, I know what you're thinking, just hang up and, you know, whatever. But I'm like, okay, what are the three last things I purchased on Amazon? I purchased on Amazon. And he's like, oh, sorry, sir, we can't get to that part of your account. And then it was like, the gig was up. I'm like, nah, that's it. But, you know, those scams, they try and look like the real deal. They come across as being legit when they're not. And so what we're going to do on this Easter Sunday, we're going to look at two scams that I believe are pushed at us today in Australia in 2024 that try and pretend to be the real deal, but what they're actually doing is they're undercutting and sabotaging what is the truth of the gospel and what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, what his death and resurrection won for us. When he said, it is finished and it is done, these things try and undercut that and pull us away from God and to the things of this world. So ready? Ready to hear some scams? You didn't think you were hearing that on Easter Sunday, did you? But let's just go with that. Number one is this. The first scam is this. Just be a good person. Just be a good person. We all know this one, right? You know, don't be a jerk. Care for others. Be kind to your mother. Pay your taxes. You know, well, most of them you can fudge a little bit. But, you know, pay your taxes. Don't offend other people, right? Do the right thing. Just live your life however you want. don't hurt others, and everything will be fine. That's the scam that we're given, that just be a good person. You see, the reason this sounds like it could be real, you know, just like my Amazon friend who called me, is because the things that I just mentioned is how Jesus wants us to live our lives. Jesus doesn't want you to be a jerk. Romans 12:18 says this: if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That's true. We are to show care for others. The Bible talks about that we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Even, can you believe, even around taxation, right? When asked about tax, Jesus even says this, Matthew 22, verse 21, then he said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. But here's the issue. We enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of his goodness, not because of our goodness. That's the scam, right? That's the scam. We don't enter because we're nice people. We don't enter because you turned up on Easter Sunday, even though you had to sit on one of the picnic chairs at the back, and we apologize for that, but we're just trying to fit as many people in as possible, right? So we don't enter into a relationship with Jesus because of that, not even because he came Good Friday as well. You know, like, God, did you see me there Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Surely that's the way in, right? But that's not how it works. The Bible says this, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, good things are supposed to be produced from our lives, but it's not our good works that makes us right before God. We are made right before God only by the sacrifice of Jesus. And then out of that, we're not a jerk. Out of that, we pay our taxes. Out of that, we look after our mother. Out of that, we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what the scripture that we just read said. We are flawed, imperfect, sinful, yet because of Christ, because of the miracle of salvation, we are made right before God. Because of Christ, like we're saying, there's a miracle in me. It's his light, it's his love pouring out of my life because of what he's done in me. You know, the other thing about scams is that they promise the world, but they're in fact a trap. You know, the Amazon guy was trying to help me out. You know, someone's hacked you. You know, they're buying iPhones on your account. They present as if they're helpful, but it's actually entrapment. It's the same, can I say, it's the same with this scam. Just be a good person, you'll get to heaven, everything will be fine, people will respect you. You know, surely if God is good, then he'll accept you because you're pretty good. You know, there's nasty people around and you're not one of those. There's evil people around and you're not one of those. So, you know, just be a good person and you'll be right. Sounds great, right? But the scam of being good enough will trap you. It'll trap you. You will always feel like there's an expectation to live up to. You'll be like that little mouse running on the wheel, just, you know, spinning those little legs, trying to be good enough, trying to be a nice person, trying to do the right thing. It's a scam and a trap. But when we realize that we can't be good enough, it actually brings freedom. It brings freedom. When we bring our insecurities and our doubts and our failures to Jesus, he exchanges them for his righteousness and his power. Romans 8:11 says this: if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. We have life because of the miracle of Jesus in each of us. In each of us. Scam number two. It's a little bit of a follow on this one. Scam number two is this. You'll see it on Instagram posts with, you know, great, you know, just that saying, you are enough. You are enough. Now, this is quite prevalent at the moment. It comes out of this sort of whole therapeutic age that we live in, and you know, everything about creating just positive vibes for ourselves. But you know, it says just be who you feel you really are on the inside. Everyone else should just get over it and let you be you. You know, we've all seen this before. Like I said, on social media, you know, like the power of self. Like, I am great. I am enough. I don't need to change for anyone. I'm being authentically who I am. But can I put to you that it's a scam? Because remember, like I said, scams look like the real deal. Oh, I've got something from Australia Post. Great, I'll click the link. You know, they look like the real deal, but they are in fact a trap. What? Why are they a trap? They're a trap because of this. Because yes, they're right. You are great. You are amazing. But it's not because you stand on your own. It's because you come from a great God. You see, it doesn't just come internally from what you can conjure up, although positive, you know, self-esteem and all of that is amazing. Yes, it's true. You don't want to be conformed to some image that someone or society or culture thinks you should be, but that's because God has created you in a unique way. You see, what this scam does is it takes a truth of God and then it removes God from it and says, you're just enough in yourself. But we're not. None of us are. I'm not. You're not. We're enough because Christ works in our lives. We're enough because we're created in the image of God. Every single person, unique across the face of the planet, across the face of human history, is created in the image of God. And God has a plan and a purpose for each and every person's life. And yes, God wants you to be authentically you. But it's not the you that comes from your own self-identity, but the you that is given identity from God. See, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't have to conjure up my own self-identity. I'm glad that I can trust God and I can say, God, you created me the way you did on purpose. Sometimes I don't know why, but you know what? That's how it is. Sometimes my wife doesn't know why. Why is Marty? Lord, why did you make him like that? But it just is, right? That's how it is. But in that, we find security and strength and hope and identity because God created me. God formed me. He created you on purpose, placed you in this body that you're in and this time of history with these abilities, gifts, and personality traits on purpose. You see, the problem is when you fall to the lie that you are enough on your own, this means that all the strength, all the resilience, all the purpose that you need for life has to come from you. And the deal is that you don't have enough of it. Neither do I. No one does. As successful as they look on the outside, as fulfilled as they say they are in every area of life, we don't have enough because only God has enough. We have enough because we have it in Christ Jesus. The miracle of Easter and the power of Christ Jesus in you is that it defines your past, it defines your now, and it defines your future. It defines your past this way, John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This scripture is not talking about the world in the sense of the environment, like the plants or the animals, the trees, animals, sunrise, anything like that. It's you and me. God said, loved you and me. You are created and loved by God. So much so that God would send his only son, Jesus Christ, to sacrifice his life for you and me. You come from love because God is love. He doesn't act in love. He doesn't do loving things. His approach to you is not loving. He is love. It comes out of who he is. God is love. You see, so this impacts our past. It also impacts our now. As we read earlier in that Ephesians scripture, it said that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them, that God has a plan for your life. That we discover it when we begin the journey of asking God what he has for us, not just deciding what we're going to do and hoping God will bless us. But can I tell you, there's a will of God and a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter your age, no matter your stage in life, no matter if you feel like you're past it or you can't start because you're too young, but God has a plan and a purpose for each and every person's life. That's the miracle of Christ in us. And your future. Your future. Actually, maybe Leah can come play some keys for me as we wrap up. Your future When your time on earth is done, we have an eternal hope that we will be with God in his presence forever. As we trust God, that's our future assured. You know, these last 2 weeks, I was at two funerals, one that I conducted, another one that I went to. And once again, these times just bring into sharp focus the reality of eternity, the reality of we don't live forever on this planet, but the hope that we have in Christ is that he has our future secured. That whenever our time is up, and I know we all know this, but none of us know when that is. Sorry to maybe be uninspiring. But the inspiring part is this, is that when we place our faith and our trust in God, we have a confidence that we will live with him forever. And that when this world wraps up, when the end of the age comes, that God is bringing a new heavens and a new earth. And we will live together with him in eternity. You know, it's funny, we were talking to our son this morning, who's 9, and this sounds like a pastor brag, but it's not, I promise. And recently, he has this, real Bible, like full Bible, and then recently started reading his children's Bible. But in his, like full Bible, like no pictures, just text, he's been reading a bit of it, us helping, and he's only, like most of us, gets stuck in Genesis, hasn't really gone forward from that, right? But he said, my favorite part is Genesis and Revelation. So that's the start and the finish. And I'm like, great. And in my head, because I said to him, oh, why do you like Revelation? And in my head, I'm thinking he's going to say, because it's got dragons and fire and stuff, stuff like that in it. It does, by the way. Read it, check it out. He said, oh, no, it's because it, I can't exactly remember how he phrased it, but he said, because it's got, it talks about heaven or the new heavens and new earth. It's got, gold and, amethyst and diamond and all this sort of stuff. And, yeah, I know, it sounds like a pastor brag now, but it's not supposed to be, right? But this is the thing. That God has an eternity for each and every one of us. But we have a limited time on this planet to accept him and put our trust in him. You see, this Easter, whether this is your very first time in church hearing a message like this, or whether you're here quite regularly, let's let go of the scams that try and distract us away from the truth of the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, the miracle is this. The miracle is to the first scam that says, just be good. Instead, we say, I'll exchange my failures for his goodness. I'll exchange my failures for his goodness. To the lie and the scam and the undercut that says, just be a good person, that sounds great, we say, I'm going to exchange my failures for his goodness. I don't live in some unreality where I think that everything is great and everything is fine and I'm perfect and maybe not perfect, but pretty good. No, no. We understand that we are flawed and messed up, but we exchange those failures for his goodness. The second truth we say to the scams is this, is that when I admit I'm not enough, I'm freed to run to the God who is enough. So that scripture, as we prayed at baptism, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, you might hear a preacher often say this, and this is not a shot at other preachers because I've probably said it as well. Just come to God. Come any way you want. Come as you are. Just come and find him and he'll accept you. Nearly. There's one thing that you can't bring through the door. And that's your pride. Because your pride says that I don't need God. And so we can't bring that to God in a sense. We do, because God works in us and we let go of it and it's a continual. And trust me, each and every week and every month you let him go, I realize how prideful I am. No, okay. But when we approach God, We have to come humbly saying, Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior. We can't come saying, hey, I think I'm pretty good, but the preacher talked about the next life and stuff, so I might just put my hand up in a moment to, you know, just to, you know, I'm playing it both ways. I'm just playing the safe bet, 50-50. No, no, we come to God because we realize that we're not enough, because we realize that we've messed up, we realize we're a failure, but we know that we exchange that. We lay down our pride and our selfish ambition and our thinking that we've got it all together, and we come humbly before God. Humbly before God, and we say, I need you. And so that's what we're going to do. That's what we're simply going to do. I'd love you to bow your heads, close your eyes in this place. God, we come. We come before you humbly. We lay down our lives. We realize that without you, we can do nothing, but with you, you give us purpose, life, destiny, hope. You bring forgiveness, you bring freedom, and you bring your power to each and every one of us. And so this morning, right now, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give you a moment to confirm and to make that decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never done this before, or maybe you have and it's been a while. Maybe a story is similar to David, who shared his as he was being baptized, about a journey of faith that had a moment, but then God has been bringing him back. Maybe that's you here today, or maybe you've never made a decision for Christ before. Then in a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand where you are. We won't pull you out the front or embarrass you, but we do want to know who we're praying with. And then as a church together, we're going to say some amazing words that just confirm what we believe in our hearts, that we are trusting and relying in God. So if that's you, if you'd like to say yes to Jesus, I'd love you right now just to be a little bit brave. Would you lift your hand where you are? I'll see it. You can put it back down. Then we're going to pray together. Is there someone like that this morning that wants to say yes to Jesus Christ? Yep, I see that hand. That's awesome. Is there someone else who wants to join in making this decision to follow Christ? Yeah, I see your hand down the back. That's amazing.